Hello, I'm Daniel Finnan, and welcome to this week's Spotlight on Africa. It's one of the world's longest-standing territorial disputes. Its refugees have been installed in camps in Algeria for 40 years now, while the UN has been trying to broker a settlement for more than two decades. We're talking about the Western Sahara, a former Spanish territory in northwest Africa. The Moroccan government claims it, but the Polisario Front, which represents the Sarawahi people, wants independence. Last week saw another extension to the United Nations mission for a referendum in Western Sahara. So is this just an extension of the status quo, a UN mission for a referendum without any referendum? Or is an agreement in sight? The UN has been deadlocked since 1991 after it brokered a ceasefire to end fighting that broke out when Morocco sent its forces to the territory in 1975. For the majority of Africa, the Western Sahara is one of the leftovers from unfinished decolonization. The African Union, in fact, recognizes what's called the Sarawahi Arab Democratic Republic. Speaking during the UN Security Council vote, the Angolan representative Ismael Abraão Gaspar Martins said African countries only supported the extension of the UN mandate if certain conditions were fulfilled.
First, the Security Council is really committed to the self-determination of the people of Western Sahara. Second, that the Security Council is committed in ending the current impasse and to the achievement of progress towards a political solution. Third, that the Security Council recognizes that achieving a political solution would contribute to stability and security in the Sahel region. And fourth, that the Security Council encourages the parties to demonstrate further political will to continue the process of negotiations and recognizes that the consolidation of the status quo is unacceptable.
Progress has been slow, and France has often been accused of backing Morocco in order to keep things in limbo. As a permanent veto-wielding member of the Security Council, France holds considerable sway. Alexis Lamecque is the deputy permanent representative of France to the UN. He says this latest extension to the UN mission will give momentum to negotiations.
The resolution that we've just adopted unanimously gives necessary impetus to the political process. The text indicates clearly that maintaining the status quo is not acceptable and that the parties must be more resolutely involved and show greater political will, realism and spirit of compromise to move towards a fair, lasting, mutually acceptable political solution.
The last real negotiations in 2007 failed. Morocco submitted a plan for the autonomy of Western Sahara, which the Polisario Front rejected. For them, anything less than a referendum for independence was unacceptable. So, has the Moroccan government's position changed? Here's UN representative Omar Lilale.
Concerning commitment to the political process, yes, we are committed to go forward in the political negotiations. And of course, as far as UN is taking a neutral position, we are in this framework and we will go till the end. As far as it concerns the referendum, for us, a referendum is already in our initiative. It means that any agreement, any political agreement, will be presented to the population to say its word. And the population in the Sahara will have the right to accept it or to refuse it. This is the legal and legitimate process of consulting the population about their opinion and about their future also.
Western Sahara's rich natural resources only complicates the matter. It has phosphate reserves, plentiful fishing, and French, British and American firms have all secured licenses for oil exploration. Licenses from the Moroccan government, that is. Meanwhile, as the political impasse continues and others benefit from Western Sahara's resources, Sarawahi refugees continue to languish in the desert. Some of them have never known their homeland, born in camps in Tindouf in western Algeria. International non-governmental organization Oxfam have just completed a report marking the anniversary entitled 40 Years of Exile, Have Sarawahi Refugees Been Abandoned by the International Community? It calls the situation an unknown humanitarian disaster. We spoke to Oxfam's Lisbeth Horsens, the report's co-author. Can you tell us about the humanitarian conditions in the refugee camps?
The situation is very, very difficult, very precarious. The first thing one should keep in mind is that the refugee camps are situated in very harsh desert and an isolated environment where the opportunities for self-reliance are very remote. So the refugees are highly dependent on international aid. And the conditions have worsened since the beginning of this year because the funds have declined. So we see that diseases like hypertension and diabetes are widespread, anemia as well. 62% of the people drink water that is at risk of carrying diseases. So it's very difficult. Added to that is the lack of socioeconomic opportunities for refugees, because more and more refugees have studied, they have an education, and of course they want to exercise their talents, but there are no opportunities for that. And then last is, of course, the lack of perspective that their situation will change anytime soon. Their new generations were born and have grown up in these camps, and they don't see an end, or they don't have any perspective that their situation will change soon.
The Moroccan government, though, they might counter that this report isn't based on an investigation on conditions in Western Sahara itself, and that it's the Algerians who are responsible for conditions in these camps, which are in Algeria.
The refugee camps are indeed in southwest Algeria. And so Algeria is a host country as it signed up to the Convention on Refugees. And of course, Oxfam, like UN agencies, we work with the government of Algeria and with the refugee authorities. But of course, it's a forgotten crisis, so there are not many funds available for it. And then the fact that the camps are in such a remote and isolated environment, as I said, they have very few other opportunities than international aid.
How is the situation likely to change with the extension of the UN mandate?
Well, I spoke to a colleague about the situation in the camps and the first reactions of the refugees, and they're very disappointed that there weren't many changes in the resolution. They had hoped, after the Secretary General's last report from last year, they had hoped on a stronger sign that something would change. But yes, after 40 years that a referendum should have taken place, one could wonder whether that still is enough.
In your report, you say that the Sarawahi youth are becoming more critical of their situation, and you suggest that they could take up arms. Is this a real possibility?
That's at least what they are saying. We are hearing it more frequently. So Oxfam is in the camp since the 70s. Youth are using other language, and they're starting to question openly the approach that their representatives, the Polisario Front, has been supporting and what the international community has been supporting. So that's at least something that we're seeing and something that we feel should be taken seriously.
How realistic is it that the situation will change over the next year during the extended mandate? Because the Moroccan king has been quite clear on Western Sahara. In a speech in November, he said that Morocco's sovereignty over the territory is effective and non-negotiable.
Well, the members of the Security Council have said that they would now give their full support. The Secretary General has also put in his report, he made it clear that the status of the territory is a subject of negotiations. So we should see now the members of the Security Council should follow up on their resolution, give support, and make sure that the parties show some flexibility so that a solution can be found.
You've suggested that the Sarawahi people be brought to speak before the Security Council. Is that a realistic demand?
It happens in other situations, and there are many ways. They can allow Sahrawi representatives to come to New York to speak to them. There is also the Security Council could go to the region, or ambassadors based in the region could go more frequently to the camps and to the territory.
The Polisario Front's representative to the UN, he wasn't allowed to speak after the vote. If the Sarawahi representative can't address journalists at the UN, how do you have any hope that this deadlock at the UN can be broken in the future?
Yeah, that's indeed one of the challenges, of course. The Polisario Front is recognized as the representative of the Sahrawi people, of the people of Western Sahara. But of course, it doesn't have the same status as the member states of the UN. But I think part of the solution could be that other ways should be sought to engage with the communities, to make sure that the Security Council has the information of both sides, from the government of Morocco and from the communities living in the territory under the control of Morocco, and more information about the Sahrawis living in the camps.
It's not clear whether the UN will get that information about the people in Western Sahara or the Sarawahis living in exile in the refugee camps. The UN mandate has been extended for another year. We'll see whether next year's review of the mandate will once again be what the Sarawahis have come to call the April lie. For Spotlight on Africa, I'm Daniel Finnan.